Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Greg Jarrett. USCF is our sponsor. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com. Stocks hold steady above record levels, and the dollar declines as investors assess economic data from retail sales to inflation. We check the numbers every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P 500's up 0.2%, up 5. Dow's up 0.2%, up 52. And the Nasdaq's up 0.3%, up 18. The 10-year is up 5/32. The yield, 2.9%. West Texas Intermediate's holding up. It's up now 1.2% at $51.20 a barrel. COMEX Gold's up 0.4% at $13.0140 an ounce. The yen's $1.1193. The euro $1.1854. And the pound $1.33 even. Consumer sentiment unexpectedly surges to a 13-year high in the USA as Americans' perceptions of the economy and their own finances rebounds following several major hurricanes. This according to a University of Michigan survey. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Bloomberg Markets continues now with Lisa Abramowitz and Pim Fox.
Thank you so much, Greg Jarrett. Well, the hottest spot in credit markets this year is arguably emerging markets credit. And the riskier, the better. In fact, Aviva Investors just came out and said that they view local currency emerging markets debt as safer than U.S. Treasuries. Here to weigh in on what we've been seeing in the emerging markets space is Damian Sassauer, fixed income strategist focused on developing markets for Bloomberg Intelligence. And he joins us here in our Bloomberg 1130 studios. Damian, does this scare you?
Well, I don't think it scares me per se. I mean, I just think it speaks to the state of liquidity in developed markets right now and tight spreads, low yields, broadly speaking, across the whole of, you know, fixed income. So I think there's a lot of cash out there and there aren't a lot of places to put it. And that's what's driving EM here.
Well, one of the places that people are putting it is in the ETF, EMB. This is the iShares Emerging Markets Debt Fund, right? This is the one that J.P. Morgan has put together. And the fund is up more than 9% so far this year. But here, this is what I want you to explain, if you can. Egypt, El Salvador, Argentina, Hungary. Can you explain what it is about these, other than the yield, Peru, Poland, I could go on, Panama. You really, does anybody really believe that these are better credits? These are governments now, that these are better sovereign credits than the U.S. Treasury.
Well, no. I mean, I think what you have to look at when you're evaluating any sovereign issuers, you have to look at their current account, their balance sheet, their current account balances. You have to look at their external debt exposure, right? Because when we get into times where, for example, on September 20th, the Federal Reserve announced that, hey, they're not going to be data dependent any longer. They're going to be hiking it regardless. You know, you have to look at what that means for local currencies. And that means if you have a lot of external debt exposure, i.e. you're Hungary and you've issued a lot of U.S. dollar debt, you might be in for a little asset liability mismatch if things go south on you. And then there's FX reserves. There's real effective exchange rates. There's a lot of metrics you can look at when you're evaluating sovereign risk exposure. But by and large, that is, you know, that is basically what investors are looking at. And that's what's driving returns.
I'm struck by the flood of money into local currency emerging markets debt, because you're talking about the currency exposure. And actually, if you look at the flows into EMB, which is the U.S. dollar emerging markets debt ETF, versus EMLC, which is the local currency EM debt, it's the money has gone disproportionately to the local currency debt. And I'm wondering, how much is this completely a wager on the dollar staying weak and possibly weakening further?
Oh, that's exactly what it is. I mean, currency attribution for local currency government debt from emerging markets is roughly 80% of the equation, right? So you're absolutely right. It's a play on currencies, but this is a more recent occurrence. I mean, the flows into EM, into local EM rates, that's really only been the last, call it 6 months, but for the better part of the last 2.5 years, you've been seeing flows into hard currency EM debt, and it's been off the charts.
So how much would the dollar have to strengthen to cause some serious pain?
That's a tricky question. I mean, I can't really say. I know our friends over in BI Economics have basically called for a stronger dollar over the better part of, you know, well, really when the Fed starts, rolling off, the excess, it's basically tapering, it's pulling back the balance sheet, et cetera. I think it would take quite a bit for you to see things start to go, but when they go, they can go in a hurry.
I was just looking at the difference in the yield between the funds that invest in the local currency debt and the hard currency debt of the same nations. And you're talking about a spread of anywhere from 4.5% for the hard currency to getting maybe a little bit more, 5.25% for the local currency funds. Is that really – are you taking more risk when you come, when you think about the reward? I mean, is 75 basis points really that much in the overall scheme of things that you're going to take that risk?
Not at all. And I think you have to be clear about who the constituents of those two indices are, right? In hard currency, you've got a lot of those, you know, single B sovereign names you had mentioned previously, kind of the Iraqs, the Turkmenistan, I mean, Tajikistan. I mean, like, there's been a ton of single B sovereigns that have come to market in hard currency debt over the better part of the last few years. In local currency, investable local currency government debt from emerging markets, there's only a handful. I would say, you know, 20 at the most. And you're really talking about the majors there.
I'm wondering how much the investors who are pouring money into emerging markets right now are looking at these specific countries and their respective issues, and how much is coming in through broad market indexed funds. The reason why I ask is because it's sort of disingenuous for us to sort of lump a whole vast swath of countries together as just emerging markets and to view them completely unilaterally. I mean, do you feel like people are delineating between better credits and worse credits?
No, I don't think they are at all. I think it's, as you said, I think it's passive investment. I think it's really just, you know, basically people saying, I want to own it all. I want to own everything, and I want to own it in whatever incremental size it's coming to market in. I will say, though, just if you're looking at emerging.
Thank you, the land of ETFs, right?
Well,
I mean, you don't get
QE
to pick and choose, right? I mean, you go into an ETF like this, you don't get to say, oh, I want everything but debt from Uruguay.
I just think the risk that you're mentioning is structural, right? I mean, the fact that the underlying emerging market bonds, even the hard currency U.S. dollar bonds, the fact that an ETF is allowing you to provide daily liquidity in and out of those positions when those bonds don't really trade like that, that could be an area of concern going forward, just that structural liquidity mismatch, so to speak. And so that is an area that I'm looking at. It's an area that my peers I know have looked at very closely, but you know, we're not quite sure what to make of it at this point.
And of course, the Chinese Congress meets next week, and could also throw some potential hot potatoes into.
And it's
mix.
Interesting how liquidity can dry up so quickly, particularly in debt that is maybe not universally traded. Have to watch this. And that's why we've got Damian Sassar. He is our fixed income strategist for Bloomberg Intelligence. Always a pleasure to have you. And focusing our attention on sovereign debt from emerging markets. Yes, Kazakhstan, Russia, even Brazil. You're listening to Bloomberg Markets. I'm Pim Fox, along with Lisa Bromwich.